Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee, as you've perhaps never heard it before. That was a transcription for solo piano by Georg Cifra, and it was played there by Arkady Volodos. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's a 9:15 just gone, and time now for Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Julian Joseph.
The high-energy sounds of saxophonist Robert Fowler and his Jerry Mulligan Concert Band, who feature as part of tonight's concert set highlights. Also on the programme, a report from Berlin from our man in Europe, Phil Smith, looking at how the jazz scene has evolved 25 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall.
After the wall fell down, we had a bonus, like the East German musicians from behind the wall. Oh, the exotic, you know. They thought, yeah, we have to bring them to the festivals and to show the people they can also play some little bit of the music. They heard about jazz.
And more sounds and insights from Berlin later on the show. But first up, in 1972, a young Norwegian saxophonist came to the attention of composer extraordinaire George Russell. In the company of his equally gifted bandmates, they were called the Esoteric Circle, and their first album was produced and presented by George Russell on Flying Dutchman, which was the legendary producer Bob Thiel's label. The year is now 2014 and the Esoteric Circle is re-released. And we're going to hear Train Flight next, but see if you can guess who that young saxophonist is.
Thank you.
Train Flight from the Esoteric Circle, from the album of the same name. Did you guess who the saxophonist was? Well, it was Jan Garbarek on tenor saxophone. Also on that recording was Jon Christensen on drums, Harold Anderson on bass, and Tarja Rypdal on guitar. And the Esoteric Circle is re-released on the Ace Records label. A few years ago, several prominent young British bassists, including Orlando Le Fleming and Michael Olatuja, emigrated to the United States to pursue their jazz dreams. Michael, who was raised in South London, is doing well over there, with two highly acclaimed albums under his belt. His second album features his now wife and talented vocalist Alicia, who makes up the other half of their group, the Olatuja Project. Now Alicia releases her own album, which showcases a fresh musical authority, confidence, and versatility. On this track, she offers her take on the Brazilian sound, with a little assistance from superstar bassist Christian McBride. This is Cerrado.
Se o senhor me for louvado, eu vou voltar pro meu cerrado. Por ali ficou que tempero, o meu amor. Esse meio em mim, essa incrível saudade. Se é por vontade de Deus, vale, vale. Senhor me for louvado, eu vou voltar pro meu cerrado. Por ali ficou quem tempero, o meu amor. Esse meio em mim, essa incrível saudade. Se é por vontade de Deus, vai, vai. Se pedir a Deus pelo meu prazer, não for pecado. Vou rezar pra quando eu voltar a rever todas as brincadeiras do passado. Corteja meu cerrado em dia feriado. Viva cordão azul encarnado. Eu sei, serei feliz de novo. Meu povo deixou chorar com você. Serei feliz de novo. Meu povo deixou chorar. Eu vou voltar pro meu cerrado. Por ali ficou quem tempero, o meu amor. Esse meio em mim, essa incrível saudade. Se é por vontade de Deus, vai, vai. Se pedir a Deus pelo meu prazer, não vou pecado. Vou rezar pra quando eu voltar a rever todas as brincadeiras do passado. Corteja meu cerrado em dia feriado. Viva cordão azul encarnado. E eu sei, serei feliz de novo. Meu povo deixou chorar com você. Serei feliz, feliz de novo. Meu povo deixou chorar. Deixou chorar com você. Serei feliz de novo. Meu povo deixou chorar. Thank you.
The Brazilian sound of versatile vocalist Alicia Olatuja and Cerrado from her new album Timeless, out now on World Tune Records. David Rosenthal was on guitar, Ulysses Owens Jr. was on drums, and Christian McBride completes the very impressive rhythm section on bass. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, with me, Julian Joseph, online, on FM, and on digital radio. Well, from Brazil to Berlin now, and the home of two Jazz Reeds players whose formative years were spent very differently as they lived on either side of the Berlin Wall. Volker Schlott from the former East and Gebhard Ullmann from what was once West Berlin were born a year apart at the end of the 1950s, and both began to hit their musical strides in the 80s in Germany's divided capital. 25 years on from the fall of the Berlin Wall, Jazz Lineup reporter Phil Smith finds out what the jazz life was like in the years either side of this historic event. To set the scene, here's Billy Jenkins in the festive spirit with What a Wonderful World.
I see trees green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you, and I say to myself, what a wonderful world.
In 1996, English musician Billy Jenkins made this album with the Funhorns from Berlin. It's called East and West Now Wear the Same Vest. And around this time, 25 years ago, Christmas 1989, East and West Berliners were indeed unwrapping said newly knitted figurative undergarment and trying it on for size. Because suddenly, they were part of the same city again.
It was really the most touching moments in my life what I experienced.
It was like unbelievable. It was great, but it was a little, it was so fast. It was not easy.
Do you remember the first gigs? Were spontaneous gigs everywhere in the kind of first month after the fall of the wall?
There was the communities in the East and the West somehow, and it wasn't so easy to get into these people didn't have phones. You had to go there in person, and then they had these little note blocks on the door and you could leave messages.
The city's jazz musicians, like all its residents at the time, had also entered a strange new world. How wonderful was it? And what had life been like for them in the years before, making music on either side of the wall?
English is not my best language. Maybe Russian is better.
This is Volker Schlott,
I try my best.
Saxophonist with the Funhorns from former East Berlin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to BBC Radio 3 Jazz Lineup.
And from West Berlin.
Hi, my name is Gebhard Ullmann, and I play most of the woodwinds, or used to play most of the woodwinds. Today it's basically bass flute and bass clarinet and tenor saxophone.
All the heavy ones.
I like low notes.
And it was Ullmann's search for a particular kind of low note that led to our musicians coming together. But more of that later.
After the wall fell down, we had a bonus, like the East German musicians from behind the wall, the exotic, you know. They thought, yeah, we have to bring them to the festivals and to show the people they can also play a little bit of the music. They heard about jazz.
One of the fundamental things about the end of East Germany was that now all its citizens could travel freely.
Because they could always say in the last moment, no, stop, no passport, no visa.
For Volker Schlott and the Funhorns, this meant exploring the world. Their 1998 album, Natural Music, was one of the last to be released on the GDR's Amiga label, and they took the material on tours.
More than 25 concerts in South America in 5 different countries. It was our start, and you know, we really took off, and we said, wow, this is so great now. The world was open.
As a music student in his late teens, Schlott had in fact had the chance to visit West Berlin to play in concerts.
My band leader and the director of the school, they had to promise the state minister that I will come back.
And what did you think of it?
Yeah, it was really amazing. It was actually, you have not the chance to come outside of this country before you get 60 or 65, you know.
So compared to most East Berliners, the musicians did enjoy the privilege of being able to peek over the wall.
Actually, the wall wasn't that... you could travel from East Berlin to West Berlin, West Berlin to East Berlin. There were also musicians in East Berlin that had a passport and they came for a beer to West Berlin, jazz musicians, and they played concerts in West Berlin. They couldn't go to West Germany so easily, but certain people could come to West Berlin to perform in West Berlin.
Gebhard Ullmann remembers the hassle of trying to get across borders in time for soundcheck.
Usually you went by car with the instruments, and then it took sometimes on certain days like 3-4 hours to even leave West Berlin. So sometimes it was almost impossible to make the gig that night.
But despite the problems of a divided city, both remember the decade, the 80s, as a time of fun and excitement. And an opportunity to develop.
Well, before the wall came down, we were on kind of an island. And the idea in the rest of Germany was we don't really know what is coming from Berlin. We only know it's a little crazy. It was not so much focused. And when I came to Berlin in 83 from Hamburg, after 2 months, I played in 15 bands. And I had like about 10 concerts per month in Berlin, only West Berlin. And you could live on those gigs because rents were really low. Like one gig paid my rent. So that was paradise for a musician.
I think this is, Gebhard, yeah, takes a CD from his shelf.
80s. 80s! Still today, sometimes I sit in the cinema, somebody points on my shoulder and he says, won't you perform with the Elephants again, like a reunion concert? They all still know this band. It's unbelievable. Basically, that was a typical West Berlin band.
So we started in 85 to make really our own concept. We had this possibility really to grow. You could really think about the music in quietness, and you could create a lot of interesting things, what I never could imagine in the other conditions like now.
That's a very nice, warm German thing at the heart of it, quite choralic. Sometimes I feel a bit Christmassy when I listen to the Funhorns.
Of course, there's all this tradition in our music. We are a European musician and we have all from our home. We know all that classic music.
I suppose that there's a stereotype of the socialist East Germany lacking in colour, that it was limiting in terms of what you could do, and the infamous stories of Stasi intrusion into everyday life. And then here you guys come along for a quartet of brass and woodwind players and just make this music.
Of course, it was a sign or kind of freedom to show that we have fun to play music, to show the people, to bring them vibrations. We had only one bad experience in GDR in 1988, something like this. Dresden, so where the police came after the concert, and they were a little bit nervous already, and we were too excited, you know. We were so euphoric, and you know, we overdid it maybe. So then it was not in their plan. They said, stop here, young guys. They took us to the police station. And this is really the other side of this East German country, where a lot of people were hurt. So I was really happy. A year later, the wall fell down and all this stuff is gone.
On the 9th of November this year, Berliners gathered along the route once taken by the wall through the center of their city. A line of white illuminated balloons marked out the former border between East and West, and one by one they were released. 25 years of living together and playing together. And while they float up, this brings us to Ullmann's Low Notes, to remind you.
I like low notes.
Now, at the end of the 80s, he wanted to write music which involved four bass clarinets.
And there were no four bass clarinets in West Berlin.
The project was called Talam.
I figured there's bass clarinetists in East Berlin, and there were.
We came together with the Talam Orchestra.
So this band basically was eight.
Four and four, four from the East, four from the West.
So we had a little microcosmos of reunification within the band.
It was really nice that the music never had a problem to come together.
Reunification happened within the musicians' community. Like that.
It was fast and much quicker than the political.
Before all the other society reunified, it happened in the music.
Music is always uncomplicated.
We all spoke the same language. We just met and performed.
The Sound of Reunification, courtesy of Talam, a project that brought together musicians from East and West Berlin at the start of the 1990s. The track was Black Cat from a Songlines compilation of the band's work. And our thanks to Phil Smith in Berlin for that report. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, online, on FM and on digital radio. Next, to an established American composer and pianist, John Serry, who lived in Britain for a few years. His latest recording reflects this as time well spent and features bright stars from the London scene that include the drums and bass of Mark and Michael Mondesi and on saxophone, Dave O'Higgins. This is Pockets.
Thank you.
Pockets from the gifted and legendary pianist and composer John Serry, with Michael Mondesi on electric bass, Dave O'Higgins on soprano saxophone, and Mark Mondesi on the drums. The album is a welcome release from a man whose devoted fans can sometimes wait a few years for a new release. Serry turns in some strong performances with compositional gems worthy of his early releases. The new album is called The Shift and out now on the John Serry label. Well, now it's time for our concert set, which features the second installment of music from saxophonist Robert Fowler's new project, which celebrates the music composed and led by saxophone legend Jerry Mulligan. You may have heard our first installment last month. Recorded at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival on September the 28th at the Grand Hall at the Spa, Robert and the band performed music featured in Jerry Mulligan's specially conceived 13-piece concert jazz band that had its first performances in 1960. Mulligan drew from a wide source of composers and arrangers, including Gary McFarland, Bob Brookmeyer, who was the trombonist in the band, Al Cohn, and Johnny Mandel. He was also an accomplished composer, arranger, and superstar performer, so on top of his own pieces, he played the music of his contemporaries, including those of Ben Webster and Art Farmer. Making up the concert jazz band for our concert set are the leader and baritone sax of Robert Fowler, more saxophones from Alan Barnes, Alex Garnett, Karen Sharp, and Ian Dixon. In the trumpet section, Bruce Adams, Martin Shaw, and Steve Fishwick. On trombones, Mark Nightingale, Adrian Fry, and Sarah Williams. On the drums, Steve Brown, and on bass, Dave Green. So let's hear Robert Fowler's Jerry Mulligan Concert Band now as they open this set with 18 Carats for Rabbit. We'll be right back.
Thank you very much. Here from Ian Dixon on the alto. Karen Sharp on the baritone. Steve Fishwick on the trumpet. Alex Garnett on the tenor saxophone. And Dave Green at the double bass. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Rodgers and Hart, My Funny Valentine. It almost became a signature tune of Jerry Mulligan's. We're going to sign off with a piece written by Ben Webster, and it's simply called Go Home. Thank you.
Robert Fowler's Jerry Mulligan Concert Jazz Band with Ben Webster's Go Home. On the saxophones were Alan Barnes, Alex Garnett, Karen Sharp and Ian Dixon. On the trumpets, Bruce Adams, Martin Shaw and Steve Fishwick. On trombones, Mark Nightingale, Adrian Fry and Sarah Williams. On the bass, Dave Green. On drums, Steve Brown. And leader on baritone saxophone, Robert Fowler. Ending tonight's highlights of a concert set recorded for Jazz Lineup at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival. And for more details on all the titles played on tonight's show, check out the links on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Plus, if you're in the London area in January, you'll be interested to hear that Robert will be performing with his Jerry Mulligan Concert Jazz Band at the Pizza Express in Dean Street in London on January the 21st. British jazz festivals are some of the finest on the jazz map, and the London Jazz Festival opened this year with one of the greatest living musicians and band leaders in saxophone superstar Branford Marsalis. His most recent album is a solo saxophone album, and other than Evan Parker, some of the players from the avant-garde scene, Sam Newsom, and a very select few, an album such as this is a rarity indeed. He composes a series of well-formulated improvisations and standards, all of which take the listener on an enjoyable, melodic, and stimulating musical journey. This is improvisation number 3, and listen out for how he musically interacts with a little background noise.
Thank you.
The sublime tenor saxophone sound of Branford Marsalis and improvisation number 3 from his latest recording. The album is called In My Solitude and features the master saxophonist showing the broad range of his musicality on a recording that is entirely solo. The album is out on the Marsalis Music label. Well, that's almost the end of this week's jazz lineup, but remember there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Geoffrey Smith's Jazz tonight at midnight. And Jazz on 3 on Monday night at 11 with Jez Nelson. This week, Jez looks back at the musical highlights of 2014 in a special festive edition. And on next week's jazz lineup, concert music from pianist Alan Broadbent with the Mark Nightingale Big Band in Dorking. Plus, music from Dee Dee Bridgewater recorded at this year's London Jazz Festival. We'll sign off tonight with a delicate melodic piece from Polish pianist and stalwart of the ECM Records family, Marcin Wasilewski, with his trio and the saxophone of Joachim Milder. The album is called Spark of Life and even has a great version of the classic Herbie Hancock piece Actual Proof. But just as engaging is the thoughtful and unfurling piece Sudovian Dance. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
band. That was Sudovian Dance, performed by the Marcin Vasilevsky Trio, featuring Joachim Milder. And it ends this week's Jazz Lineup. The programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade and presented by Julian Joseph. And for more information on Jazz Lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. Jazz Lineup will be back at the more usual time of 6 p.m. next Saturday evening.
Get festive with a feast of music. Beginning on Monday evening, enjoy a daily serving of exclusive performances from Radio 3. Whet the appetite with music from our new generation artists, Radio 3's platform for the most exciting new talent. That's followed by a main course of highlights from the BBC Proms. Relive some of the most remarkable moments from the world's biggest music festival. And to finish, how about a battle of the bands, the Pet Shop Boys, or a tribute to Sir John Taverner? Round everything off with a slice of the late night proms. Make music your festive indulgence. From 5:45 every weekday evening beginning on Monday. Only on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's a little after 10 o'clock. Time now for Here and Now with Sarah Moore-Peach and Robert Warby.
Hello, welcome to the fourth of five programmes bringing you highlights from this year's Huddersfield Contemporary Music Festival. We visit the Hepworth in Wakefield to hear the Edges Ensemble perform pieces from the Experimental Music Catalogue, which is now part of the British Music Collection housed here at the University of Huddersfield.
We're also dropping into three Huddersfield concerts tonight. One very loop-heavy gig from Plus Minus Ensemble with music by Bernhard Lang, James Weeks and Alexander Schubert. We're returning to the Feldman's Pianos concert from St Paul's Hall and also to the Catalan group Crossing Lines. Since last year at Huddersfield, there's been a strong Catalan link. It began with Hector Parra, the Barcelona-born composer, being composer in residence. And Graham McKenzie, the festival's artistic director, has forged strong links with the Catalan Ramon Llull Institute. Here he is explaining how the partnership's developed.
There was always the plan to have a twofold approach to Catalonia, and one was very much focused on Parra. That was my starting point, my entry. And because I was so fascinated by his work and felt that we may have a long relationship as a festival with the work of Hector Parra, I then wanted to look at who perhaps were the composers who might be influenced by him and certainly his international success. It's quite strange in many ways to talk about a composer as young as Hector is influencing a younger generation, but he's been remarkably successful internationally in a very short period of time. And so I very deliberately then tried to find out and research what was going on the generation one down from Hector. And many of the composers working with Crossing Lines, many of the players in Crossing Lines are amongst that very interesting next wave of composers coming from Catalonia.
Graham McKenzie, Huddersfield's artistic director. So, the first piece from the Ensemble Crossing Lines concert we're going to hear tonight is Trifoni by Josep Sanz Quintana. It's a trio for piano, tuned and untuned percussion, and bass clarinet. There's a lot of shadowing between the instruments, strong contrasts and frenetic scales. And the performers are asked to vocalise texts by Rodin, the sculptor, defining beauty as a force of character. The piece was written 7 years ago. This is Trifoni LB by Josep Sanz Quintana.